accomplished devotees who have done a lot of service, the moment they become proud and insincere, the god of Maya is there, and they fall so much in Maya that they cannot come close to Krishna consciousness. I think we all have experienced meeting the god of Maya. We may not be high class yogis who can fly to the Vaikuntha planets and then get the trident, the trident treatment, but we also have experienced this. Hare Krishna. This is all I can say. Hare Krishna. So, Bhakti Granta has now the question for Chandramouli Maharaj.
So, one devotee have asked as follows.
By the way, microphones are for speaking into them.
Okay. We are the devotees, and in our daily life, we are struggling for existence, or by other words, for the very life.
Maharaj ki jai.
Or by other words, for our very life, these material energies and different worries we have, they are making us so much dull that I feel the chronic tiredness. We know that it can be better, that it can be better, but when and how?
Om Tat Sat. Om Agyanat Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshushan Viritam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvisesa sunyavadhi paschatya deshatarine Mukakaroti bachalam pangolangayate giring Yatki patamahang bande si gurun dinatarinam Paramananda madhavam si chaitanya iswaram Harihi om tat sat. It's a tough question because it's a question that's affecting a devotee's life. So they may not want to just be hearing philosophy. Philosophically we can answer, but then how to digest it, how to make it so that it will go down the throat, because we find, like from the Puranas, there was one man who had no children and no money, and he was so frustrated. Life stinks! I want a child! I want to be a father! I can't have a child! I want money! But no matter how much I work, how much I sweat, get no money. So one day he told his wife, I want to go and I'm going to go foreign country. I'll get a job and I'll make money and I'll send you money. I don't want you to suffer. You, my dear wife, I don't want you to suffer. Then when we have money, then I come back. We can have children. And the wife thought this, said, see, now I have no children, I have no money, and your plan, I'll have no husband. You'll be in some distant place and I'll be here all alone. So I don't think it's a good idea. As far as you are wanting children, maybe that's not also, we shouldn't be so worried about that. Because there's five kinds of children. One kind of child is because of bad karma. Say that in the previous life you did bad karma. So as a result you get a child who just wants to cause you trouble. Or you get a child because you didn't pay a debt to someone. And that debt carries to your next life, so that debtor become your child to get from you. So that type of child, just taking, taking, never giving. The third type of child is enemy. Wants to become your child just to create trouble for you. So they do some kind of a special prayer, let me be that person's child and create all hell for him. So three kinds of children are very bad. Fourth child is Suputra or Putri, the good Krishna conscious child. I mean, maybe not Krishna conscious, but good child, serves the parents, listen, obedient, nice. And the fifth kind is called Udasin, detached. Maybe Sukadeva Goswami, he was like say Udasin. He was born and he left the family. But that's anyway, transcendental case. So she said, better not to worry about a child. We are happy, let's just live simple life and be happy, we have each other. No, no, but I want a child. I want money. He's like fixed like this. So then she said, okay, why don't you go to see Vishishta Muni, Vishishta Rishi. He's nearby. He can tell us what is the problem. What is the solution? So then he went to see Vishishta Rishi. He's in Ramayana, Mahabharata, one of the great rishis of the universe. Historical Vedic rishi. Still he's alive. Because he's a Brahmarshi, like a son of Brahma. So he can see the past, present and the future. So then he went and paid obeisances, offered some respect and requested Vasishtha, told his problem. So what I can do? Why don't I have any money? Why don't I have any children? Then he looked, well, in your last life, you were a Sudra and you started a milk business, dairy. And you were very successful. You made lots of money. You became a very rich man. Many cows, lots of money. But you were a miser. You never spent on your family. Your wife was starving. She wasn't having nice saris. What do women think about that? No nice sari. No food. But you had money. You didn't take care of the children. You kept hiding the money, hoarding it. More, more, money, money, money. So because of that, then you died. And nobody knew where you hid your money. And your family, in spite of having rich husband, rich father, they had to struggle like anything. So as the karma for that, in this life, you have to struggle. You have got this struggle. No money, no children. Because you ruined it last lifetime. And he said, okay, I understand now. That makes sense. How did I get such a good wife? And how was I born as a Brahmana if I was Sudra and so sinful? They said, oh, let's see. Aha! Yes. For 3 days in the holy month, in the Vedic calendar, there's two, three holy months, Baishak and Damodar, these are the two most holy. Then sometime Magha is also mentioned as very special. but this was the mind of Vaishak. Vaishak and Damodar are very similar in the benefits, but Damodar is more spiritual oriented and Vaishak is everything, general, spiritual, material, all aside. So in India more people do Vaishak maybe than Damodar, but they do both, who know the secret. Anyway, he said, we know Damodar, we don't know Vaishak and ISKCON so much. Vaishak comes in the mid-April to the mid-May. That during that month there are many holy days like Narsingha Chaturdasi. So he said, in that holy month, for 3 days, what happened? A Vaishnava visited your house. Because a Vaishnava visited your house and you gave him nice reception, and then he advised you that do some kind of vrata, do like some worship and fasting and holy bathing and different things. During there was 3 days left in the month of Vaishak. So you did the Vaishaka puja for 3 days. So then, that's why you were born as a brahmana and you got a good wife. 3 days only I did. And I got such a... So these things are very powerful. We don't know how powerful it is when you do the Damodara puja. You do some of the... All these things we do, it's very powerful. So then he asked, what can I do now to solve my problem? Then he told, well, you do 7 days. Now it's 7 days left in the month of Vaishak. So you got 7 days, you do now full devotional service for 7 days. And then you get all kinds of blessings. So then with the blessing of Vaishishtha Muni, he did the 7 days of this holy month. And then he had children, got money, and he became Krishna conscious. So sometimes in the Vedas it says because of our karmas that we're in this situation. But still then we go on trying, we want to get out of that karma. But what's really the solution is to somehow keep on being Krishna conscious. Because whether we're struggling or whether even we have a easy going in terms of money and things. Sometimes when people struggle, they're more dependent on Krishna. Sometimes it's an awakening to get us more Krishna conscious. When you do book distribution, sometimes you meet rich people, they don't want to talk to you, they want to stop to you. Usually the poor people are a little more humble, a little more receptive. So why is this? Why are we struggling? Why are we in this situation? Why are we born in this position? It's very difficult to understand sometimes. If we could go to Vaishishtha Muni. You see, I'm not Vaishishtha Muni, but maybe one of the other Maharajas has got some special blessings. Trikal Gyan to find out. The thing is how to have an easy enough time that at least you can perform your devotional service. And we don't want any devotee to starve. We don't want any devotee to be so much stressed out. So that... But we say, I mean, some people, they make money like very easy. Some people, they work hard and it just doesn't come. So like Kolavichya Sridhar, he was working very hard, but he was always a poor person. But he always kept up with his devotional service. He chanted Hare Krishna every day. He worshipped the Ganga. So in the end, he got love for Krishna, which is the highest blessing we can ever get. Lord Chaitanya recognized him. So sometimes it may be a test. Sometimes Krishna puts us in some difficulty temporarily. We're burning off our bad karmas. Do we remain faithful? Do we remain Krishna conscious? If we do, then Krishna says, okay, this devotee is mature. And sometimes he gives some good fortune. That's another test. When we have money, if we have it easier, do we still remain Krishna conscious? Or do we just become lazy?
or get off into sense gratification. I had one disciple, he was struggling and struggling, and then he joined the temple, and then he is living in the temple doing service. Then his father died. He got inheritance, $28,000, South American, was a lot of money for him. Then he thought, I joined the temple because I was struggling. Now I've got money. Why should I be in the temple? Then he left and he started to enjoy his money. After 6 months, 1 year, he spent all the money. Didn't save anything. Then he came back to the temple suffering now, and all the people say, you stupid, you got all the money, why you didn't invest it, why you didn't use it? He came back, I want to come back in the temple, I'm suffering. I have some very good disciples and I have some disciple who I don't know how I'll get them back after trying. So, we, as far as we can help, I mean, this is what karma is, and although we can't say, that's why it's difficult to say. From our side, though, as a community, we'd like to help. We wish that those devotee businessmen, if they can employ other devotees, and the devotees who work for them are hard workers and honest. I know one devotee, disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Alachua, he started a business. And he employs something like 25 other devotees. And like that, if we can get Vaishya businessmen, they can set up some nice Krishna conscious enterprise and hire, give devotees, grihasthas who are not like businessmen, they like to work. Like that, we need to build up a kind of community backup for people. Especially these countries where sometimes it's difficult to start. It's a struggle. As much as possible, we like to give support, but sometimes it's difficult. Even like our Zagreb temple here, for so many years, it's not yet completed. We want to see it completed. I was there in the winter, and one floor is heated, and the other floor is open. And no hot water. Maybe now they have, I don't know. So, all we can do is somehow keep chanting and don't get angry at Krishna. Take it, it must be some kind of test or karma, but try to take advantage of whatever opportunity comes. Some people do go to other countries with the whole family. Some places they're looking for devotees. Sometimes that's solution, sometimes it's not. That you have to see, personal guidance to see what's with your guru or with some senior devotee, what's the particular solution in your case, whoever has asked this question. I know if we could get foreign aid and do a massive prasad distribution, if there's a lot of hungry people in this country, then some devotees could be employed in food for life programs. They could also get something to eat. Like that, we need to organize things that devotees can get more services and we can help more people. But this material world, if it's too nice, then we like to stay here. Sometimes when we struggle, we think, I want to get out of this place. So that way it can also be a kind of negative impulse. Be serious, be Krishna conscious. We just shouldn't get depressed. The thing that endangered me is the feeling down, hopeless, depressed. Because that's not going to help anything. To have faith in Krishna and just, you can always pray that Krishna help, let me somehow keep me in your service no matter what. Remove the obstacles so I can serve you nicely. And as Krishna gives you some facilities, try to use it very responsibly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's very nice to hear such an elaborate answer. There are now about 100 more questions. But it is really wonderful to hear detailed. This is for the translator. Bhaktikanta, you please make yourself acquainted, and then you give a first-class translation, huh? Here's one for Chandramouli Maharaj. How to provoke more spiritual experiences in our lives? How can we make them happen more often? What we can do in this regard?
Spiritual experience. This is a spiritual experience. Association with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the glories of the Lord. Spiritual experience. If you're thinking about getting realizations, then that's not within your power. That comes by the mercy of the Lord. But the experience can be, what we say, enhanced. The possibility of having the experience can be enhanced by putting yourself in the right environment and in the right consciousness. And that is in association with devotees, chanting the holy names, being eager for devotional service, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, preaching. Through our service, we get the experience. And Krishna is satisfied with our service, and He blesses us. Gives you knowledge, gives you freedom from material attachments, and gives you His association through that service, through that association. Simple. Krishna consciousness is an experience, and the process helps to awaken that experience. So dive deeply into the process.
Thank you very much. Yes, the next question for Sachinanda Maharaj. You have said that Krishna will protect and maintain us. My fear is that because I'm not able to be surrendered in a great amount, that it is not enough, and that according to that, Krishna will not protect me fully. And then I'm afraid to surrender more. It's like a closed circle. How to get out of it? You have to start somewhere. And you have to start the steps which are realistic for you at this particular state of your Krishna conscious life. If, for instance, you would say, well, I will surrender to Krishna, I will just chant His holy name from morning till night, like Haridas Thakur, and I will expect that people will come to me like they came to Haridas Thakur, with bags of chapatis and dal and rice, then this is something which will most probably not work in your case, simply because you don't have the same taste as Haridas Thakur has. And it is not according to your competence to live and surrender to Krishna like Haridas Thakur. You should surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna like it is natural for your present state of Krishna consciousness. To find out where you best fit into your surrender to Krishna it's very, very necessary or helpful to receive directions from your spiritual master. I remember being with a charismatic ISKCON leader who decided to fast during the month of Kartik and chant 64 rounds a day. We were guided by this leader, and we were out in India with two buses called the Nitaigo World Traveling Sankirtan Party. So Srila Prabhupada heard about this particular leader and his self-imposed austerities and responded. He had sent this leader out for preaching in India, but now he left his project to do some austerities. Prabhupada said the real austerity is to follow the orders of the spiritual master. So if you wish to know in what way you can surrender and to Krishna, and in which way you can expect to be protected and maintained by Krishna, it is important to ask your spiritual master for direct instructions, which will be according to your adhikar or your present spiritual competence. There is a question now for Jayapataka Maharaj. I will just pull it out. Hopefully it says for Jayapataka Maharaj. Yeah. Oh, this is a very nice question. This is a very nice question, Maharaj. Maharaj is known all over ISKCON for his continued intensity of service. He told me that after the summer camp, he will quickly fly to Australia, I believe. He has quickly flown here from India. Do you know, he's just coming from India. He has not even problems with jet lag, it seems. And now he will quickly fly to Australia. So here's a question on intensity, Maharaj. How to keep the intensity of spiritual feelings and spiritual life as long as possible? Sometimes we have intense experiences, like when we are on this camp visiting India, etc. But how can we keep the intensity alive? Please tell us. I might add, please, Jayapataka Maharaj, please tell us your secret, because I'm also totally amazed and full of admiration. I would like to know your secret.
So, Prabhupada ki. Well, because of jet lag, I missed Mangal Arati this morning, so. I was very fortunate that Prabhupada engaged me in Krishna consciousness from personally, right from the very beginning of my Krishna consciousness, and it was always for me very inspiring. I understood I was practicing yoga before, and but I couldn't feel like I was making really progress. And when I started to understand about bhakti yoga, I remember how some devotee told me that you have to build up as much spiritual credit as you can, because if you can build up enough, then you'll be able to resist Maya's attacks. And in this way, if you have enough credits, then you can get back to Krishna. So I was just trying to do as much service as possible. And I found that the more service you do, the more enthusiasm you get, especially in preaching services. I know there was other devotees, they were thinking, you know, why should I do so much service? I'm doing more than everybody else. I want to take a break. But I never had that mentality. I always thought, why can't I do more? I wish I could do more service. I remember Prabhupada told me once in Mayapur that I'm only sleeping 2 to 4 hours a day. Why you're not also doing like that? And then, you know, that was like totally out of my capacity. So then I was looking, you know, like, probably pretty bewildered what to say for that, you know. And then Prabhupada, he was kind to me and said, well, I'm old man, so I maybe need less sleep, you know. But as far as the traveling is concerned, Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, lying in the bed there in 1977, then he admitted that he can't travel anymore. And he said, I was cursed by all the parents of my disciples. Then he said that twice on 2 occasions, he said, now you sannyasis have to take this curse. But one time I was the only sannyasi in the room. So I got like... The other time there was, I think, one other sannyasi. I'm sure I'm trying to spread out a little bit to others, you know, but I got full whammy, full mercy. Otherwise, I hadn't been traveling for 7 years. I was only in Mayapur. And then after that, I got my Indian passport. I became Indian citizen. And then someone gave me, okay, Maharaj, I want to donate you one round-the-world ticket. And that was the beginning of the traveling. That was one time around the world. Now sometime I go 3, 4, even 5 times around the world in a year. What gives me the energy, just like you come here to such a festival, I try to give as much enthusiasm to the devotees, but being in such a nice association, I also get so much encouragement, enthusiasm. I think that this kind of sharing Krishna consciousness with many devotees, it's very enlivening. What I've seen is, I would end, like, I don't want to speak too long, is that, as you said, many other questions, but the more that someone can do preaching is a life. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saratakura said, pranachi jar sehetu prachar. Somebody preaches because they have spiritual life. And by preaching, you actually get enthusiasm. Even I've seen new devotees. They come back from some Harinam or some Sankirtan or some... You see, they're all fired up and so much life. You give to Krishna, especially when you're giving to other people to help them to be Krishna conscious, and you get back so much energy. I better end there, otherwise.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your...
Hari Hari.
Can I just want to wash? There's a little washroom here. I'd like to wash up just for a second. It's okay?
Sure, certainly. It is possible.
Maybe someone can show Maharaj where. Or you have. Yeah.
It's right here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Alexander. That, you know. So here is another question for Chandra Modi Maharaj. Bhakti Giranta has translated it by now.
The question is, when a person is for a long time in the process, but still doesn't take the shelter of the spiritual master, what could be the reasons?
That's a very interesting question. And it's probably due to some previous karma. So if a person is sincere, but at the same time not able to, in other words, he wants to, but he's not able to, or even because maybe the desire doesn't come strong enough, there may be some karma in one's previous life, something that is blocking that ability to take shelter of the spiritual master. How to understand or how to get over that karma? Really, anything we're trying to really get over comes by associating with people who have the qualities and have the activities that we're trying to develop. That association with people who are doing and are taking shelter, who are enthusiastic, especially in spiritual life, it rubs off on us. And it actually helps us overcome that negative karma or that karma that is blocking us from actually making that, what we say, leap of faith. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakura speaks about this, how then whatever qualities you're trying to develop, you associate with those people who have those qualities. But because I know devotees, just like I'm in Chicago, and I won't mention any names, but I know one devotee, he's been around the temple for at least 25 years, and he's still bhakta. He reads Chaitanya Charitamrita, chants Hare Krishna, and sometimes he goes out and does Sankirtan. But still he won't take shelter of a spiritual master. He won't see the necessity of making that leap of faith. And obviously it's due to some karma, some past karma. So to get over that, we may not be able to understand what is that karma, but we can try to get over it by associating with people who have that desire. And then that the power of that association will help us come forward. Because a lot of times people who are like that, they don't associate, and that makes it hard for them to come forward. So association. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes, another question. Question. Yesterday we heard the story about Krishna and Kubja. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada explained that Kubja's affection for Krishna was not the same like that of the gopis, but Krishna anyway fulfilled all her desires. I don't understand this pastime, so I'm somehow always disturbed whenever I hear it. For me, it doesn't sound transcendental, but mundane. Why Krishna had to associate with someone like Kubja, who wanted to satisfy her lusty desires? Please explain what kind of devotee she was. I'm enjoying very much in your blissful association. Hare Krishna. It is described that in her past existence, Kubja was Sopanak, the sister of Ravan. When Sopanak roamed through the forest, she saw beautiful Ram and wanted to marry him. But Ram said, I can't marry you, I'm already married with Sita. Why don't you go to Lakshman? He is my talented brother. So she approached Lakshman and said, will you marry me? So Panak was a terrible demon, but she had taken a beautiful form of the most beautiful woman. So Lakshman said, I'm not quite suitable because I'm a slave to my brother Ram. I think you must go back to Ram and ask him. So she went back, oh Ram, Shri Ram, please become my husband. But Ram declined, and this time Supanak was so totally enraged that she actually understood the reason why I can't get any of these two beautiful men is because Sita is in my way. So she began to attack Sita. Now this was certainly too much. Lakshman drew his sword and jumped at Supanak and cut away her nose. Shup! Nose was gone. You might say this is not very polite, but it was the only way to stop Supanak. Now Supanak had this desire to be associated with Ram. It was a very strong desire which could not be fulfilled in that incarnation where Ram had the Ekika Patni vow, the vow to only be married to one woman. Because her desire was, however, so strong, she got a chance in the Krishna, when Krishna came, because Krishna doesn't have such vow. Krishna satisfies all the gopis. And now Krishna also satisfied Kupya. See, with our mundane understanding of Krishna Leela, are wondering why Supanak had lusty desires. The gopis just wanted to please Krishna. Why did Krishna satisfy Kupya also? The reason is a very important principle of bhakti. When your desire is strong enough to get Krishna, Krishna will come for you. Your desire may sometimes be still mixed with other concerns, but if it is strong enough, Krishna comes. Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna in a negative way, but because he filled his consciousness with Krishna, Krishna came. The whole art of Krishna consciousness is to desire like anything for Krishna. Obviously, we don't want to develop Kupya Bhakti or Kamsa Bhakti or Kamsa Krishna consciousness. We want to think favorably of Krishna. And for that we are trained. But whenever the person is very strong in Krishna consciousness, no matter what else is there, Krishna comes. Therefore, let us fill our hearts with Krishna. Let us think of Krishna. When we chant, let us not space out, but hear Krishna's holy name. Let us allow ourselves to become attracted by Krishna and Krishna only. Hare Krishna. Here comes a question for Jayapataka Maharaj.
One thing I'd just like to add to that, though, that Krishna purified Kubya's desire afterwards. I think she got changed.
Yeah. Oh, this is a very important aspect. Maharaj is just adding, when Kubya received Krishna and associated with Krishna, in the contact of Lord Krishna, Kubya became purified from all selfish desires. So whenever you want Krishna, when you have him or get in contact with him, you will be purified. So here is another question for Jayapataka Maharaj. Why are we so afraid being surrendered to something so beautiful as Krishna's will.
Why are we afraid?
Yes.
That's a good question. Why are we afraid? We shouldn't be afraid, right? But even Arjuna asked something like that. Why do we do sinful acts even though we know we shouldn't do it? And then Krishna says it's lust, our all-devouring enemy, that we have so many strong material desires. Maybe we're afraid that we'll lose something. We're going to miss out on something. Right? That's why Rupa Goswami, he tells us when we preach to people, we should first get them attached to Krishna. Yena tena prakarena Krishna mana nivasate. So first get them attached to Krishna. Once they're attached, then you gradually introduce the rules and regulations. Because if somebody hasn't developed that appreciation for Krishna's sweetness, hasn't developed that appreciation for His beauty, for His wonderfulness, and all they hear, you have to give up this, you have to give up that, you can't do that, then they start thinking, you know, how can I live with all these things? How can I be happy? If I don't smoke every day, I'll die, I'll never be happy. If I don't do this, if I don't do that. So they get all, like Maya fills their mind with all these fears that I can't surrender because I'm going to miss out on all the things I like. We don't have the intelligence then that Krishna consciousness is so much more beautiful, it's fully satisfying. And when we have a taste for Krishna, then we're not going to miss these other things at all. But we can only understand that once we develop the taste. Therefore, the secret is not to get people first, to be attached to Krishna. That's the whole secret. If we can develop that attachment, if we can develop that appreciation for His beauty, the wonderfulness of Krishna consciousness, I think that's probably what was a big impetus for me, because I tried so many yogas and so many paths before I came to Krishna. I never felt satisfied. But I knew how to do the yoga, asana, everything. And then the second day when I visited the temple, Upendra Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's servants, he gave me a pair of beads and said, "You go out and chant in the park." So, because I was a yogi and I could sit, that time I was skinny and I could sit in yoga asana. I sat down and I chant for 6 hours non-stop. 32 rounds. Very slow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I just meditating. And I was feeling so much happiness and so much effect from that chanting the second day. And after that, I was thoroughly convinced. There's nothing, no higher meditation, nothing better than this. There was no looking back after that. But I think that devotees, I was realizing that many devotees, they're serving for years and they never get a very strong experience. And I was having so many experiences by Prabhupada's mercy and that it was one experience after another. So I was thinking, you know, how we can, I think that what Sachidananda Maharaj does with the Nama Yajnas and some of these programs is so important, because this kind of intensive chanting and intensive experience, devotees need to actually get this transcendental esoteric experience of Krishna's mercy. Even if one time they get a glimpse, then that's worth more than millions of words. You can talk to people thousands, but once if they can experience the ecstasy, then after that, then they'll know, okay, there's something really there that makes all this other stuff look pale and ridiculous. Why am I attached? It's nothing. Somehow try to get that taste, try to get that nectar. Once you taste it, then you'll be afraid. How will I'll miss out on that? That fear will be better. I'm missing out on something much better than anything I've ever experienced before.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
And when I came back to the temple with my beads, then Upendra said, "Oh, by mistake, I gave you Prabhupada's chanted beads. I have to take it back." You know. After that, it wasn't quite the same.
Wonderful. So you chanted on Srila Prabhupada's chanting beads. You're a blessed soul. Wonderful. Hare Krishna. I'm very, very grateful, Jai Bhattaka Maharaj, that you answered the questions in such a personal and very direct way. I have now a sad, really sad news. It's 10:15 and we normal people go to bed around this time. So I think we will have to close the evening. When I asked you now, what do you all think, you will feel compelled to say, no, but it's really 10:15 and you are here known for coming to the Mangal Arati and all this. what do you all suggest? One more question.
Two
more questions. Three. Why don't we do like this? Three more questions. Then we will do one for Chandramouli Maharaj, and one short one for me, and then we will end with Jai Bhattaka Maharaj. I think that's a good idea. Okay? Dobro. But you have to stay awake and stay with us. This is the condition. Golanda! Nityananda! Radhe!
Six more questions.
Wonderful. So here's a question for Chandramouli Maharaj. How can we truly believe in Lord Chaitanya as an incarnation of Lord Krishna in Radha? I'm just reading how the question is. Christians learn that Jesus was also God, and it is also said, as I know, that incarnation of Krishna comes only once on Brahma's day in four yugas. P.S. Correct me if I'm wrong. Krishna comes in one yuga 5,000 years ago. How can we release doubt and really believe in Lord Chaitanya? I think that's the nucleus of the question. How can we release doubt and really believe in Lord Chaitanya? It is a problem because he is not known in the world as, for example, Jesus. Please.
How do we know anything? We have to accept the authority. And, of course, it's mentioned in various places, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna comes in three yugas. He is also called Triyuga. But in that verse in the fifth canto, the residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers. I believe it's the 35th or 36th verse in the fifth canto. Chapter on residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers. It's explained that by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that in this age the Lord comes as a Chana avatar, or his hidden incarnation. In three yugas he comes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, identifying himself in that way, but in this age
he's hidden. But there's numerous verses throughout this other scriptures that mentions the Krishna Vanam Tusa Krishna Sangupanga Suparsanam Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hisumeda Saha. That's also 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. In this age that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, he is Tusa Krishna, he is Krishna, but he is coming not in a blackish form but in a golden form. His color is not. He comes with his weapons. He comes with his associates. He comes with his confidential servants. And he yagnai sankirtana praye. What is the yagya in this age? Harinam sankirtan. And he teaches that personally. There's a long list, actually, from various Puranas that identified Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can't recall all the verses, but I'm sure Vyayapataka Maharaj can also fill in many, many verses, and also Satchinandana Maharaj. But simply take the Shastra's evidence that Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation in this age, and he is Krishna, imbued with the mood of Srimati Radharani. Radha, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. And that Lord Chaitanya is a combination form of Radha and Krishna. So we have to accept Shastras. If we don't accept Shastra, what evidence do we have? To understand the Father, you have to for you can hear from the Mother. Prabhupada said, Mother is like Shastra is like Mother. She teaches about Father. So in the Shastras there are many, many quotes, various Puranas, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So, Hare Krishna. Yes, the next question. If Krishna loves me completely, why is there no possibility to become completely happy separate from him? There is now a bracket. I do not accept for an answer that it's just the way it is. This question is relevant to me because I do not want to serve an unjust God. Oops. Once again. If Krishna loves me completely, why is there no possibility to become completely happy separate from him? Om Krishna. There is, there are species where you can feel to be completely separate from Krishna. The animal, it does not, most animals do not have a complex morning program and a regular Shastra study, and they live happy. In some ways, if you accept animal happiness as happiness, so he has a possibility for you. If you want to take it, please eat a lot of prasadam before you do it. There is now another question. It's the last question for today, so let us shake it really well. Oh, Krishna. Neutral person. No, you can pick up your own question. This is very good, because you are a mystical Vaishnava. Ines, yes, why not? You...
Okay. You need reading glasses? Or? Ayoke ke mahamantra transe vibrashicha kosha dolatsi. It is, we will pick up another one. Iveshwara, you are a neutral person. Okay. For Sachinandan Swami. So we need another question because it's for Jaipa. Jan, you're extremely neutral. We have to find the right question now. Thank you, Jan. Yeah. Can you please reveal to us, if it is not too intimate, some of your realizations you had during your Kartik Vrata at Suryakund? It's magical. We don't find the right question because this was directed to me. So, Ujashvi, can you find the right question? Hare Krishna. No. Here it is. Ujashvi is also very mystical. Kako radice stubutsna. Krishna, it's really, there's sometimes a magic. Jan, you are a child. No. What? Because he needs some time to translate. Have you translated the question?
Not really.
Okay. Here. Yeah? For His Holiness Sachinanda Swami, yes. So, please give the question to Narada Kaur. You have translated?
I can present the video.
Good.
So, let us see. How to do our service or to lead some project if behind us is not staying some higher authority who will give us the support and the protection in the crisis. What to do? And the only problem is the question is for Sridhar Swami.
Jai Pataka Maharaj, when you look at your disciples, can you see their past lives? We want a very truthful answer, Jai Pataka Maharaj.
That's highly confidential.
Is this being recorded?
Highly confidential.
Highly confidential. Highly confidential. So another question.
It never happened during a question and answer session. We just can't find the question. Usually we don't find the answer. The answers are found. That is not what I wanted to say, but it's highly rare to not find a question when the whole box is full with questions. devotees, grihasthas, wish to make their children devotees. Sometimes in the mind comes the question, why Srila Prabhupada's children didn't become devotees? I do not want to be offensive. It is just some confusion in the mind about the Lord's arrangements.
Oh. That's an interesting question. We heard Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that he would be willing to have sex relation 100 times if every child was guaranteed to be a devotee. But unfortunately, there are no such guarantee take. Advaita Acharya had 6 children. 3 were devotees, and 3 were not pure devotees. In this material world, it's like that. But Prabhupada had like one of his children, his youngest son is Vrindavan, and he's a devotee. He's chants rounds, and his wife chants. He says in the future he'd like to take initiation, but he's a bit busy with his maintaining his family. But he encouraged his daughter, that's Prabhupada's granddaughter, to take initiation. And she's my disciple. And she just recently had a baby girl. She's also married to another one of my disciples. So now there's a great granddaughter of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, that's actually pretty, wonderful thing, right? And they're living in Mayapur. So, I find, you know, we generally find that the children up to like about 12 years of age, most of them, if they're at all devotionally inclined, they're really nice devotees. And then sometime afterwards, especially depending where they go to school and what's the environment, some of them, not everyone, but some of them get a little distracted by if they have a lot of non-devotee friends. So I was, because I'm minister for congregational preaching, this was bothering me very much. Because like in some places like Malaysia where we have thousands of congregational devotees, we were seeing some of the like one, maybe she's like 16 or 17 year old girl, daughter of one of my disciples. She said, you know, it's really hard, you know, all my friends are non-devotees. Can I go to parties? I mean, I won't do anything, I just sit and watch. But you know, all my friends are having parties and I feel, you know, maybe sometime I should also go, but I, you know, of course I won't drink anything or do anything, just watch, you know. So I was thinking, you know, how tough it is for children, you know. All this karmic pressure and all this maya pressure on them. Whole world is in this enjoying mood. And so that's why I found, like in the UK, they have this program, Pandava Sena, where this, the young people get together and they have programs together. So I encourage them in Malaysia to start this Pandava Sena also. So they have now a branch of Pandava Sena, and the young people get together and they do like bhajan presentations and dramas, different things. Just the young people. So every Janmashtami they'll have one drama, all young people doing it. And I find that if you do programs so the young people can be devotees together and they can do things together for Krishna, that seems to protect more of them. I think that the most dangerous years are these teenage years. You know, because the people are turning from children to young men and women, and so many hormones and so much energy they have. You have to be able to engage that energy in a very Krishna conscious way. Of course, also in the very young age, now the scientists say that you have to give a lot of love to your children, otherwise their neurons, their brain don't properly connect. I don't know how shastic that is, but we heard from Prabhupada that the first 5 years you have to give all kinds of love and affection to the children, give them almost whatever they want, and really pamper them and make them feel very loved and important. Then from 5 to 15, more strict discipline, and then from 16 on, like friends. So, it's a big science, and I was very appreciative that Kripa Mohi Prabhu is here to help give some seminar on the Grihasthas, because Grihastha ashram is very important. And one Grihastha couple mentioned, we wish his wife had come. We wanted to hear from her about raising children. And I think this is a topic which needs a lot more. It's not like by accident. Like I've seen, of course, Indian families where the children are very submissive to the parents and they're very respectful because they've always been treated with so much love and affection. They reciprocate with that. And that way they quite often, the parents are devotees, they tend to also be devotees. I saw a study once where they found that if both mother and father are devotees, usually the children become devotees. But if one of the parents is devotee and one is not a devotee, then 50-50. And if both the parents leave Krishna consciousness, then rarely the child becomes devotee. So we also know that Prabhupada's wife was not like, she's devotee, but not so much, very kind of, I don't know, I'm committing apparat here. Historically we know that she could have been more enthusiastic, and so that all these things may have some factor to play. We used to see the daughter of Prabhupada come to our temple in Calcutta, and she used to be quite devotional at the functions. Only the eldest son, he was doing these legal cases against ISKCON, trying to claim ISKCON was his property. So, like that, I don't think in the way it was presented, the question like very black and white, Prabhupada's children were not devotees. It's not like that. There was some devotion in there. Maybe the oldest son turned negative at the end, or he became greedy at the end, something. But youngest son is very active. He comes. And, it's quite devotional. So we can create that culture, and if we can have, you know, the experienced grihasthas, they can try to help the younger ones. I mean, we hear some children complain that my parents didn't take care of me, they're too busy with their devotional service. So I remember Prabhupada once told some grihastha, your child is your deity. You had to really, it's a whole yagya, it's a big yagya. And you have to do it with love and to give the best thing for your children. At the same time, there's not 100% guarantee that they'll be devotees, but give it your best and you hope that they will.
Yeah, there's a letter to Arundhati. And he said, child worship is more important than deity worship because these children are actually the future of our movement. And they're actually Vaishnavas. They're special. They come into this movement because this is their next sojourn. So to take care of the children,
is actually one of the greatest ways to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote that letter to Arundhati in 1968, I believe, in Columbus. And the first thing he said, child worship is more important than deity worship. That's an exact quote.
So I want to just thank all of our grihasthas here because you're doing a wonderful service, and may you be able to have Krishna conscious children. Your love and attention and combined care, it's very important. We need the future of our movement is that we also have nice devotee children. Kuala. Haribo! 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 Haribo!
Thank you very much for being so attentive. It was the magic box. We will all pray that the questions which were not answered in this forum will be answered in your heart by Lord Krishna himself. Have a nice night now. Lakunoch, and see you tomorrow again. Hare Krishna!